Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple, he outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I wonder if you will give me a handful of minutes to tell you about my King. Now the truth is, it's going to look tacky if you say no and leave. So you probably just need to listen to me when I tell you these things about him. Listen to this. His name is Jesus, and he turned water into wine. He cleansed the temple, and his disciples remembered that the psalmist had written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Early in his ministry, many believed in his name because of the signs that he was doing and the healings that he was doing. He gave hope and life to a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well when he told her everything that she had ever done, and still it was not enough for him to leave her as she was, for him to reject her and keep away from her. He healed the son of a man at Capernaum just by saying, "Go, your son will live." And when the father went home, his son was well and the fever had left him. And he asked his people, "When was he made well?" And it was at the exact moment that Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." He healed the man at Bethesda who had been weak and infirm for 38 years. Jesus looked at him, said, "Get up, take up your mat and walk." And he did so. He fed the hungry multitude who had gathered around him to see the signs that he was doing. And that night he walked on the sea 3 or 4 miles to get into a boat with his disciples. The Pharisees sent officers to arrest him, but they returned empty-handed. And when they asked the people that they had sent, when they said, "Why did you not bring him?" they answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." But he refused to condemn the woman caught in adultery. He called himself the light of the world and said that he was truth itself. He called himself the bread of life. He healed a man born blind. He called himself the good shepherd and promised that his sheep would hear his voice. He said that he and the Father are one and prayed that we would be one with him and one with each other. He raised Lazarus out of death and ordered the witnesses to unbind him. All this and more, John says, Jesus did. And that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Messiah of God. And that you, dear one, may have life in his name. But on Friday, his enemies had him humiliated and put to death to prove that all of these things had been a farce, to prove that he was an imposter, to prove that he couldn't possibly be who he said he was. That he could not be the Christ, because, dear ones, Jesus cannot be the Christ. He cannot be the Messiah if he is dead. We cannot put our faith in Jesus if Jesus is dead. If Jesus is dead, we can believe that he was a good teacher who urged people to love God and love one another. But how could we believe that he was any more than that? If Jesus is dead, we can believe that he was many things, just as I can say that my dead grandmother was a good cook and a good woman. If Jesus is dead, all we can really believe is Jesus was. If Jesus is dead, the best we can truly say about him is Jesus was a good man, is Jesus was a good teacher, is Jesus was a miracle worker. And if Jesus is dead, the worst we can say about him is that he was an imposter and a delusional liar who had led thousands of people to believe that he was something that Rome had proven summarily, thoroughly, and humiliatingly proving that he absolutely was not. If Jesus is dead. But dear ones, John said he wrote this story for you so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name through him. But none of that is possible if Jesus is still dead. I think of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, "If Christ has not been raised, my preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." I think the last thing that would make sense to me is that God would call me to preach faith in a dead man. That I've given myself to the vain pursuit of propagating and retelling a 1,990-year-old lie. What point would there be in people being called, nurtured, being pushed, being shaped to tell a story that is nothing but reckless propaganda? And what of the billions of people who through the ages have claimed that their lives and hearts have been transformed by a relationship through faith with Jesus of Nazareth. Could it be that billions and billions have lied about what He has done for them? Why is Jesus even remembered if He is dead? No one ever risked their life to proclaim that the would-be Messiah, Simon Bar Kokhba, had been raised from the dead after Rome killed him in 135 AD. You've never heard His name before. Have you heard that He's been raised from the dead? Has anyone risked life and limb to proclaim Him at the temple? Has anyone stepped into a pulpit and invited you into faith in Simon Bar Kokhba? But yet He was crucified. Paul goes on to say, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins, and all who have died have perished. If Christ has not been raised, if Jesus of Nazareth is someone we always have to refer to with the verb was, then all there is death and meaninglessness and nothingness and hopelessness and wantonness and the burning sense that all of this means nothing. We are utterly without hope in the same darkness that Mary came to the tomb under. If Jesus is not raised, then Peter is wrong when he tells us that we've been born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus is dead, then death has not been defeated. There is no hope of eternal life. The darkness of sin, death, and destruction is all there will ever be, and all there is left for us is closed eyes and rotting flesh. If Jesus is dead, all there is left is the vain hope that a personal universe might turn us into stardust and perpetuate us for all eternity. What craziness is that, people want to believe today? How is that more likely than God raising Jesus from the dead? If Jesus is dead, then Jesus truly simply was and never will be again. He is lost to the past. But listen to me, dear ones. What if John is telling the truth? What if these words I read to you this morning that I asked you to open your heart to, what if those words had the power of life breathed into them? What if they are true? What if Jesus has been raised from the dead? What if we are not limited to saying Jesus was? What if Jesus is? Jesus said to Lazarus, his sister, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet they shall live. If Jesus is, then those words are true. The apostle said that we cannot grieve as those who have no hope. If Jesus is, then death is defeated and we have the hope of eternal life. If Jesus is, then Peter is right to hold before us the possibility of new life, that we can be born anew as a new creation, free from sin and death, to live in joyful obedience to God. Lives of hope with meaning and newness. If John is right, then there is no need for you to wallow in doubt and desperation and despair. Why would God give us faith in a dead man? But dear ones, the resurrection is not a story begging to be proven. Although I have no doubt many preachers today will attempt to do so. But it is this. It is a story begging to be believed. It is a word of hope to you, who, like me, walk in a world filled with darkness and hate and hurt. Now, I like a weird sermon title, but the one that's in your bulletin right now isn't weird. I'd like for you to open it. I give you a chance right now to trust this story that John gives you. In your bulletin, you're going to see a fill-in-the-blank answer, but it's not test day. Test day comes at the last trumpet. And Paul says that on that day, if you have believed in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, and if you speak with your mouth that Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Dear ones, how will you fill in that blank? Will you take hold of a writing instrument? Will you scratch the word was and leave here just as you are now? Or will you write in the word is and leave here with the hope of eternal life? I have a bulletin, but I don't have a pen. Y'all got a pen? There was one up here the other day. I'm going to write an is in it, in my bulletin, and I want you to see me do it. Jesus is. I pray you will do the same. And dear ones, may you be blessed of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who offers you eternal life in Christ. Amen. We stand to sing in celebration a song that glorifies the Lord. Hymn number 308. It's a good opportunity for you to be writing in a bulletin. Christ is risen, dear ones.
He's risen indeed.
Man, that was good. I didn't really want y'all to do that, but that was good. That's what I'd have done too. Go tell somebody. Go tell people that they don't have to live in despair and live lives without meaning. Go tell people that they can be raised to newness and have hope. And go tell them of the one who can give that to them, the risen Christ, and know that His grace will go with you, that the love of God will encourage in Him and support you, and that the power of God will enable you to speak words of hope to your neighbors. Happy Easter. Go.